All right, welcome to the Comic Anvil, episode 16. Wow, comics have been good lately.
Oh yeah. Cool.
So I just figured, the three of us will have enough to babble about. We got
Yeah,
Wesley.
actually we should be.
Okay. We got Wesley and we got Anthony today, and myself, of course.
What's
So,
up?
Zap.
what's up? Everybody's up. Well, might as well just bust right into it, right? How about that Saga book? Did you guys like it?
God.
Oh, that was awesome. So
Jeez, that's
good.
such a good book.
Is that all you guys are gonna do is ooze about it, or?
48
Might as
48 pages for $2.99.
well. It
Everyone
was
should buy this comic.
$2.99.
Yes.
No ads. It's the best value for money you'll probably get all year.
Yeah.
So,
That
I
is a
mean,
good deal.
what more can you ask for? I mean, you got a good story, great art. Again, 40 pages for $2.99. It's so good.
It had such a heavy metal vibe for me. Like, when I used to read Heavy Metal magazine back in the late
Yeah.
80s, early 80s, stuff like that. That's the kind of vibe I got off it right away. It just hooked me. I was like, this is gonna be cool.
I like the hand-drawn captions that the artist did,
Yes.
Yeah,
with the
that was
narrator.
beautiful.
That was a
Fiona
nice
Staples.
touch.
Yeah. I'd never seen any of her work before.
Leave her a
If
bio.
you want to see more of it, she's worked on the series. She did the Mystery Society book with Steve Niles, and she also did North 40 for Wildstorm
Right.
with, oh, I can't think of the writer on that one, but.
I read an interview with Brian K. Vaughan, and he said that Steve Niles was the one who had recommended her.
Oh,
I think
cool.
that was Comics Alliance, actually, wasn't it?
Was
I
that?
think I read the same. It
Yeah.
might have been. I read the same interview, so.
Yeah. I don't know. I was pretty stoked. I wanted to read more after it was done, so any interview I could find, I'd plug into. Yeah. I mean, what else can we say without spoiling it? It's just amazing. You get the best
Yeah.
bang for your buck and craziness. Space craziness.
It's a bit like Star Wars, but at the same time, it's
Yeah.
quite dark and stuff, isn't it? So,
Very
a little bit
dark.
of Dungeons and Dragons in there too, if you ask me.
Yeah.
It's just, oh, it's gonna be phenomenal, I think.
And I mean, everything about it is just like, yeah, you have to be so careful to spoil, because I remember when I was writing my review of it, I was just like going, okay,
Yeah.
I gosh, God, okay, God, don't spoil this. God, no, don't spoil this. This is, yeah, just buy this. It's awesome. It nearly results down to that, honestly.
I double dipped it, man. I was like, whatever. Because it looks, it's amazing. I don't know what to say, even how to explain it. Because I read it on the iPad, right? And it's a little different than the paper, but it's still pretty damn cool. I like what you said about the writing, the caption writing. That got me right away. I was like, awesome.
And then when I read that in last page of like saying like, yeah, Fiona Staples, she hand lettered the scenes with the oh gosh, the with
The
the
narrator.
child, and you're like, oh my
Yeah.
gosh.
Yeah. No, it looks good and it
Just
makes
didn't
it more art, right?
she inked and colored it herself, didn't she? Or did she
Yeah,
ink it
she did
herself as
everything.
well? Yeah.
Some weird shit in this book. Just
Yeah,
flipping through it, I'm like, what's with the guys with the TV heads? What?
What's with the guys at the TV as what's with
Yeah.
some of this stuff? I mean, there's like a few scenes near the end
Yeah.
where they're like they hit like a forest and you're like, whoa, what in the world?
It kind of some of that scene you're talking about reminds me of Prophet a little bit. That
Yeah, it
last issue
does.
I read, which is another good book, by the way.
Yeah, it is. I like Prophet.
Yeah, I never read the ending. I was at work. Rated mature. It has actually has a rating on it.
Yeah, it's like recommended for mature readers.
Yeah,
Yeah. Yeah.
as it should be. Because, like I said, heavy metal. Whatever. Okay, I guess we're done gushing. I feel nervous. I'm so excited about that book. Yeah, buy it. Buy it now. Rent
Go
it.
buy it.
I don't care how you get it. Damn
It's on
it.
Comixology,
There you
it's
go.
at your comic store. Go buy it.
Well, it might be at your comic store, or it
It
might be
might be
sold
your
out
comic
because it's
store.
that awesome.
Yeah,
So,
true.
good luck.
Places.
Yeah, what was the book that had a problem with shipping last week? Luther Strode, the last issue.
Yeah, I didn't get that either. I did not get
Ew.
the book.
Really? I see. I bought that one on digitals, and I'm gonna buy the
My
trade.
shop bought
Bought
it.
it on digital because I want to read the finale. Dang it.
Oh, damn it, it's good, man. You gotta read the ending, Wesley.
Yeah, I like I can't wait till next week when my
Oh,
store gets it.
it's it's
Yeah, I can only
perfect.
imagine.
It's a
Oh.
perfect ending. I was like, wah! Oh, I can't wait for more. I'll tell you that much. I don't know, Anthony. Did you read Luther's story?
I've not read any of it yet. I might pick up the trade paperback when it's out.
You should.
Or I might read it on Comixology. I'm not sure yet.
Yeah, maybe there'll be a deal when the trade comes out.
Yeah.
So they do that sometimes, right? I bought them all digitally. Mm-hmm. I'm going to buy the trade. It was that good. Probably one of my favorite surprise comics of the last little while. Like, just stunned me how much I enjoyed it. Which brings me to what? I don't know. I guess I can't say too much about that because you guys haven't read it. What about The Secret History of D.B. Cooper? Did you guys read that?
No, I haven't read it yet. But I've heard so many good things.
Did your store not get its comics or what?
No, okay. Like, my store, it got pretty much most of the books, but I know he more than likely didn't order the D.B. Cooper, so I'm probably going to end up just Comixology-ing that little sucker. Because
it was cool.
Because I've been going, oh, I want to read this. So I'll probably end up after the podcast, I'll be like, clink.
How much was it? I can't remember now.
$4.
Was it $4?
Yeah.
Jeez. I double dipped on that one, too. There goes $8. It was good, though. It's got a little bit of an Inception vibe to it. You know,
ooh, really?
Plus the obviousness of the name E.B. Cooper, right? Yeah, kind of. Maybe that's a ruining. Maybe I spoiled it a little. Nah,
that's no big deal.
It starts off so strange. You just got to keep reading. When you get to the end, you're like, oh yeah, okay, I get it. It's going to be a good book, I think. The more that issues come out.
I was looking over. I read The Cross this week, or the Cross Badlands.
Oh nice. Yeah. That poor dolphin.
It is a messed up book. My God, I read the first series of it.
Nice.
And then I was like, oh my God. So I thought, you know what? I partially blame you, Eric, for me kind of getting into Ferrells. I'm like, you know what?
Yeah.
Let's. I'm liking Ferrells, so maybe I'm in the right mind frame to get into Cross a little bit more.
Oh, Cross is a little so much.
But then you read Cross, and then you're like, you know what? Holy crap! The double page spread of what happens to the leader of that group are like, oh my God!
Are you talking about the first issue?
First issue.
Yeah, the guy with the salt.
It's the Badlands, right? Cross Badlands.
Oh, my bad. You're talking to the web comic, right?
I haven't read the web comic yet. I have not gotten a chance to read the web comic yet.
Oh, I'm confused.
There's the first issue of Badlands came out this week.
Oh, right, because of the C-Day thing. I forgot there's a comic book. Yeah, I haven't
seen it. Yeah, I haven't got registered to read web comic yet, but I've been wanting to read the web. I need to sit down and read the web comic today because I've been hearing really good things about it. Yeah, so,
dolphin.
But I've heard about the dolphin and the salt, but I haven't heard exactly.
That web comic's free. Go check it out.
I'll
link it in the podcast here.
Yeah, it looks but I was talking about Badlands that happened.
Yes, I'm sorry. I was confused.
Badlands was. Have you read Badlands yet, Eric?
No, it's in the mail.
Okay, I'll be interested to hear your response to Badlands because it's already been mentioned online, but there's one character, Prince Harry, that's actually the supposedly the legit Prince Harry, and he's just this awesome soldier, and he's pretty much like he's like oh screw you all I am it's like he's pretty much as a soldier. I mean, pretty much he's like yeah, it's like. Here's how you da-da-da. Like, they're like, holy crap. He's like the trained fighter out of all of them. And he's really cool.
He was in the army, wasn't he? Really?
Yeah, he was in the army. So they actually used it. And, like, Ennis uses his army training in the book. And I'm like, that's pretty cool.
I like Girth, man. He's awesome.
You will appreciate this, Eric. I can only imagine when you hit, though, there. Like I can only imagine when you hit the double-page spread and the history of what happened to Ian. I can't wait for you the reaction to that whole segment. It's crazy.
So there's been three guys pretty much to write Cross so far. Garth created it, Lapham took over, and Cy Spurr is doing the webcomic, right?
And Delano is going to be doing the next arc of Badlands after because it's going to be Badlands like a biweekly biweekly Cross story. So it's basically gonna be like every 2 weeks they're going to be doing new issues. Like and it starts off then it's Delano. Then Lapham comes on after Delano, I believe.
Yeah. I like that guy.
So
I tell you, like the difference between the writers, man, it might be all the same universe, but they do such a. It's like they try to one up each other. all the time.
That makes sense.
Because Garth's first run was kind of a subdued horror, you know? Like, the horror was definitely in your face.
It was messed up, but...
a little more subdued, right? Whereas Lapham's just like, eat it, don't close your eyes, don't close your eyes, right? And, yeah, so I'm pretty stoked for this new one. It should be good. Yeah,
you will like this. I can already see you liking this very, very much.
I'm officially have every Avatar book that's being published now in my
pull. Holy crap.
Yeah. And I'm still buying the back issues of the graphic novels. Whew. Just got 2 issues of Wolfskin I just ordered or something like that.
Oh, wow.
Warren Ellis. Oh, yeah, man. Avatar's got wickedly morbid books. I love it.
Yeah, it's pretty much like, yeah, you like horror, you like Avatar. Have fun.
Yes, for sure. Good one. I did not expect to be talking about Crossed. I'm stunned. Anthony, have you got a pick, man?
That we haven't done before? Yeah, I have actually got a comic I want to talk about, and I know Wesley will have something to say after I'm done. I want to bring up Avengers Assemble number 1, which was the other big number 1 that came out this month along with Saga. Yep. And it's Marvel's new title to kind of like coincide with the release of the movie, a new number 1, a new series. For the theory is, people who go see the movie, if they go into a comic shop, they'll buy this title. That won't actually happen, but hey, Marvel can kid themselves. It's
great. More than likely, they buy.
Yeah. But what I like most about this book is it's the team behind Ultimate Spider-Man with Bendis and Bagley, and just look flicking through it now, it just kind of reminds you like Ultimate Spider-Man with Spider-Man's not in it that much, obviously, but with just the artwork in it, because the thing I can say about the comic is it's got really good artwork by Mark Bagley.
Yes, it's beautiful.
But it's just the comic itself, like the story, it's not really, I don't want to say it's bad, it's just not that great, because continuity wise for me, because I read the other Avenger books, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense, some of it, because like Thor just kind of like turns up even though he's not back officially in his own book, and then you've got the Hulk running around there as well, and now you've got Hawkeye wearing this suit designed by Brian Hitch that he just decided to throw on just in time for the movie. The ending is just kind of like ends mid-battle.
Yeah.
There's some good action scenes. It's some really, like, really good action scenes drawn by Bagley, which is like the highlight for me, because like the Hulk's in it and it doesn't kind of he seems forced into it, but what he gets to do in it is really good. Like, it looks great, but yeah. I did like it. It's not for a number one. It's not. I don't think it's that gripping, really, especially for new readers. But what did you think of it, Wesley?
Yeah, actually, it's funny. I pretty much told you more or less that I didn't really give you my full thoughts on Twitter on it. But I was actually where I did a freaking gargantuan review on this thing because I kind of got detailed on my thoughts on the darn book myself, and I was I actually found myself liking it more than I expected, too. I actually felt like, God, hell just froze over. I like a Bendis book. Oh, my God. The hell just happened here? I like a Bendis book.
But that's funny.
It's like anywhere I posted is like, I nearly posted one of my things of how I learned to like a Bendis book. I don't know how this happened, but it was actually, because I think what it was is, it's more new reader friendly than you would expect it to be, but at the same time, it's really, yeah, it's very, it's kind of uneven. It's really like the Hulk thing where they put the Hulk in the book. And by the way, potential spoiler warning, I might get a little spoiler heavy, but but it's pretty much the Hulk is weird because I can see why it's going to be interesting because it's supposed to be in continuity. I don't know how, but it's in continuity.
Weird. See what I got out of it. Yeah. Gary said he was Savage Hulk again. I was like, what?
Yeah, he was Savage Hulk in the book. He was all, I call it more Hulk smash. It's like, yeah, it's like no, Hulk not attack. Hulk not.
Who knows?
I'm like, what the hell is going on?
I don't know.
I was like most of the book, I didn't. I was like, the Zodiac looked cool. Loved
it. Zodiac was awesome.
The Zodiac was cool. I like the Zodiac. I think that's why I like it. I like the Zodiac concept because it's funny. Because if you realize, the Zodiac's been around the Marvel Universe since freaking 1970. It's been since because Roy Thomas and Sal Buscema were the initial people to bring them into the Avengers.
Very
they've
cool.
been around since the 70s. So they...
Well, Bendis is good for doing that, isn't he? Like, bringing obscure characters from, like, the 70s and 80s and then, like, reinventing them for, like, modern audiences. That's what he pretty much did with Luke Cage back in his early days. Yeah.
I like how he did it. I like Bagley's designs for the Zodiac. I like their costumes in the double page and that spread at the beginning of the book. Their costumes looked really nice. It was very. I was like, okay, I like this how the designs. I mean, because probably the strongest part of Avengers Assemble is the art. I mean, like Bagley's art really gels that together, that book together. I mean, for all the kind of unevenness of the book at times, it's held together with Bagley's artwork. And I mean, it's like, of course, the thing of it is he has Danny Mickey, who's a really good inker. He has Paul Mounts, who's a really, really strong colorist, and put it all together and you have a really nice looking book. And I'm hoping second issue, if this issue wasn't too bad, and I'm hoping second issue actually like kind of improves upon it a little bit more and kind of explain some things that might have been a little bit unclear in the first issue. So
yeah, that sounds like a Bendis arc to me.
It is. I mean, but it's strangely his most straightforward superhero book. It's kind of weird.
Maybe that's
it's
what like, he's going for something. I don't know.
And it were. I mean,
maybe this is his big blowout story because he's leaving, isn't he? The Avengers.
He's leaving every Avenger book, but I think he's staying. He's going to be staying on Assemble and. Mm.
Because he's not being too clear about it, is he? He's saying he's leaving Avengers, but it could just be New Avengers and the current monthly one, so you don't know.
Oh, rumor time. Is that where Hickman comes in? He's quitting Fantastic Four. Where's he going?
I keep thinking Hickman's going to be on Avengers.
Somebody keep saying Mark Waid on Avengers as well.
That's probably me, because I really I like want Mark Waid to do.
And there was another person.
Even if it's just one or two arcs on it, that's all I'll do, you know.
I would like to see Waid and Hickman being on, because I honestly keep thinking they're not going to have one overarching voice for the Avengers after. I think it's going to be probably like...
They're going to separate the books up. That'd be
nice. Like, having one voice for one book, one voice for another, or maybe them crossing over, but I... Because you've read the newest thing, what they're doing like this summer, what some of the stuff they're like Thunderbolts is going to be relaunched to Dark Avengers.
Yeah, what's up? What?
And I'm like, what in the world?
But I think it's Bill Parker's book, right? So
Parker's book.
I knew the characters would be joining the book because it actually mentions it in Avengers 24 with the Dark Avengers. Like Captain America suggests it to the president, oh, they could join the Thunderbolts team. So I don't see why they have to rename the book Dark Avengers, though. They should just keep it Thunderbolts, really.
Well, no, you got to do it for the money, you know, get a new number
one. It's the money. When people see Avengers.
They're not renumbering it, though, are they? They're keeping the same number.
Oh, that was
surprising. I think so. That's going to be interesting.
Well, that's what it says on Bleeding Cool, so, you know, pinch of salt and all that.
Well, it hasn't been officially, it's like, I guess we'll find out more when it's announced either today or tomorrow at WonderCon. That's where they're announcing, every blessed everything this weekend.
Oh, yeah, speaking of WonderCon, you hear this Punisher in space shit? I'm like,
I'm
like, insane. What? Come on.
That's crazy. Spooky.
Very bad Frankencastle feel from it, but Frankencastle was good, so.
It was funny. The first time I heard Punisher in space, I like, this sounds like one of those things in which, like someone at a comic shop said, you know, it'd be cool, Punisher in space. Planet Hulk was awesome. So it's
Hulk's awesome.
I mean, Planet Hulk was freaking cool. Punisher in space is just one of those things. I wonder. Okay.
It just seems to be the thing now. Now it's Spidey in space. People were bitching about that arc for some reason on ASM. I think I read the first part. Wasn't that bad.
Second part was good as well. That's just kind of like a setup for the Ends of the Earth that's coming next. Really.
I'm checking out Ends of the Earth, by the way. That looks like that could be...
Yeah.
I really like that initial setup for Ends of the Earth, so I'm checking that out.
The two-part space story as well, it was kind of like a team-up with the Human Torch, like with the first Spider-Man Human Torch team-up since Johnny came back a few months ago. So
that's what I enjoyed about it.
Mm.
I like that book. Spider-Man doesn't get enough praise, or does it? It's a solid read.
I think, because whenever I talk about comics, it's kind of like I'm just used to Amazing Spider-Man being at least good now, ever since Dan Slott came over. Because for me, each month, it's like near enough each issue's been consistently good. Well, for me, it has anyway, so I just always forget to mention it. But.
Right. I don't think we do forget to mention it. It's just, it's always there. It's not going away. We don't need to.
Yeah.
Right?
It's like one of those books. It's like, it's also like one of the things. I mean, Slott's been, like, even when I've kind of fallen out of Spider-Man, it's more like just the story arc itself. I just kind of go, I'm not really into it right now. And then I take a break and then I'll come back for the story arc that kind of catches my eye, like Ends of the Earth. I love that concept. So I'm coming back to check out that arc and see how it goes because I'm kind of I like the Sinister Six. So I think
ASM has been my I buy it regardless book. Like, I think I have over 200 in a row now. I think from 400 on.
Wow.
I can't remember. I could be wrong on that. Anyways. Yeah, because there was a bunch of renumbering. But I'm pretty sure it's about 200 consecutive issues.
I've got a bad feeling they might renumber it again this year.
Either after
700 or sometime. I don't know. It's just,
why would they do that?
Because they did it with Cap and they did it with Thor, and they're probably going to do it with Iron Man once Matt Fraction leaves. Because I think Matt Fraction's only got about 3 more arcs left than Iron Man, and then he's leaving.
Really?
But I'm not too sure on that.
I don't read Iron Man.
It's good. I think I'm just kind of just getting bored with Salvador Roca's art, to be honest. I think because when you get, like, say Spider-Man, for instance, again, like, the main artist on that really is either Humberto Ramos or Stefano Caselli. But even then, you do get some arcs in between where they change the artist, which keeps it fresh, and then you'll get Humberto on and Stefano on for, like, the big arcs, like for Spider-Island, and then for Ends of the Earth now. But with Iron Man, it's always Salvador Roca, and because his art work, he's not one of my favorite artists to begin with. It's just, it kind of gets boring. It's almost like you were looking at the same thing month after month. So.
Yeah,
I like his Ghost Rider stuff way back when.
Ghost Rider stuff.
Oh yeah, man. He was good on that. I was like, who is this guy? He draws a wicked-ass Ghost Rider.
You want to see something weird? I mean, LaRocca, even though Chris Claremont's Fantastic Four run was very, well, hit or miss, it has really nice LaRocca artwork, so it's kind of like one of those, it's one of those things, like, yeah, like, LaRocca's artwork during like that period was, like, really good, and then he kind of got this oddball photorealism style that's worked and not worked for LaRocca, kind of depending on the book.
Right. So yeah. He did change his style hard. But whatever, maybe it was for the better.
It's better than Greg Land's.
I knew you were gonna say that.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Fuck everybody.
LaRocca's photorealism style, I will take 10 ways to Sunday over Greg Land's photorealism style.
Paul Greg Land, we shitted on him last time. We're just doing it again.
He always have to shit.
Is he on Twitter? Let's tag him in the next time we post this.
I don't think he is, actually.
I don't think he'd appreciate.
Probably not.
He's used to it now, being right.
Yeah. Yeah, I suck. Fuck you guys.
Yes, I suck. Yes, I use the same female face.
He still has a job. Anyways.
God.
Poor Greg Land. Another book that I've been getting into is Rachel Rising. Have you guys read that at all? Probably not.
No, I haven't yet, but I've been meaning
to. I think Terry Moore.
Yeah.
And
I read the first issue, but I hadn't gotten a chance to get the other one.
It's different. It's very different. And the art's amazing. It's about a girl who wakes up in a ditch. She's dead. We're about 6 issues into it now. I don't know. I don't want to spoil it too much. There's something going on. Something crazy. Like I said, the art's amazing. And Terry Moore is known for what else? Echoes and
Strangers in Paradise,
right? Which I've never read before, to be honest with you.
I've read a good chunk of Strangers in Paradise, and I like it. It's just I haven't read the whole series yet, but I've been wanting to because I do like Terry Moore's artwork, and I've been wanting to get the complete Echo edition at some point in the future because that's another. Because Terry Moore is a really dang good artist and really darn good writer, period. So.
Yeah, this is like, this is what Comixology does to me, man. I find a cheap first issue, and the next thing I know, I bought all 4, and I'm like, that's it? Oh, here's number 5, you know? I suggest it to anybody who likes black and white artwork anyways.
Mm-hmm.
And totally, I don't know, it's almost, goth, maybe? A little bit? I wouldn't call it heavy metal, that's for sure. It was definitely weird. And there's no spandex, so that's a always good for some people. Anybody else? Like, I know we all read the Manhattan Project.
Manhattan Project.
Did that not blow your mind or what?
It was
awesome, number one.
Freaking brilliant. I mean, I read, I think I read that about nearly as much as you did, Eric.
It's so good.
It was about close to you, because I was just like going, oh my God, what the hell is he going to put? I mean, Hickman shoved about a bidillion things of ideas into one issue and just made, here.
Wrapped it up in a light little psychotic bow. Loved it.
It's like, I mean, freaking, yeah, and it's already mentioned, but like freaking, like Albert Einstein, I'm like, what the hell are they going to do with him down the road?
He looks evil, but I bet he's...
I love Albert. He's just staring at this, like, going, and you'll find out, you'll know more about him when you're good and ready to find out.
That would make a good TV show, man.
Yes, it would. I would have been like... Especially in what happens, but especially the Oppenheimer alone would be like... Yeah, I'm not spoiling Oppenheimer for you.
That was just wicked.
Y'all just find that out.
I'm like, infinite Oppenheimers. What's that all about?
And you're like, the hell?
I checked out, after I read the book, I went to Nick's page, art page, and looked up the art that he's got for sale from the first issue. And there's a last issue, last page for the issue that wasn't used. That is freaking deadly, man. It's just deadly. If you've read the book, I implore you to go check it out.
Okay.
Because if you haven't read the book and you check it out, you'll be spoiled.
Yeah, you'll be shiny spoiled.
Yeah, what a cool book. I want to thank Tommy for bringing him on.
Yeah. Thank you, Nick. Thank you, Tommy, for bringing Nick on.
Probably my favorite book. Like, I was ranking them the other day because everybody... Actually, there was one guy on Twitter who was like, I didn't like any of them. I was like, well, good for you. That's too bad.
He's a sad life.
Yeah.
Yeah, Oh, Anthony, you were mentioning about a book you were wanting to talk about on here that you were reading.
This is, if you go to markwade.com,
right,
it's got his new free webcomic on there that just went on there over the weekend during WonderCon. And what you need to do is you need to open it into a tab, and if you press the right key on your keyboard, it'll scroll along the panels, and that's how you're supposed to read it. And once you get on there, you'll see what I mean with how the panels are laid out and how you go from one to the next. And the story itself is quite like a simple zombie one, which makes a lot of sense to do a zombie story with it, you know, with The Walking Dead and all that. But it's a free to read, and it's just quite interesting in how he's trying to use the digital format, because he's like really getting behind it or something now, I mean, with digital comics, and he's supposed to have like new stuff on over the next couple of months. And I read it yesterday, and it was a good read, actually. I enjoyed it, and you can just like click through at your own pace as you read it. So markwade.com, and you go on there. It's free, and I think people should check it out because it's cool.
I will. I meant
to. I'll be checking that out after this, actually, because I was reading Mark Wade. He's going to sell his comic book collection to fund his digital comics moment.
Oh my God! I wonder how much money that guy's going to get for his comics. He's got to have some shiners.
You know he does.
Oh, yeah, I know he does. He's like a freaking historian, that guy.
Wow. He's going to sell his entire comic collection so he can work on the digital comics that he's working on. Wow.
That's...
Okay, he must have some stuff. He really...
Crazy. Wow.
I like that dedication.
That's a good idea. Yeah. I'd sell my comics, but I probably wouldn't get any more than $300 from them.
I actually can't wait for what he's doing with Marvel as well, with the Infinity comics with him.
That's interesting.
Stuart Immonen,
yes,
doing a Nova story. I mean, that creative team alone is enough to get me excited. But we're tying it into AVX as well. That's a really smart idea, actually.
I agree.
Like, Marvel's digital initiative. I mean, I hope you can read it on the computer, actually, because I don't have an iPad or a tablet device. I'm hoping I can. And my phone's a bit shit for reading them on, so I'd rather read it on my computer. But
I think
it sounds
so,
quite cool.
Well, when you get Avengers versus X-Men, you'll be able to read it. You'll be able to get the first issue of the Infinite comic free, so you'll be able to test it out then if you'll be able to read on the computer or not. So
cool. I do have a tablet, so I'm not gonna.
Someone's
but I know what it's right? like when not having one, man. And
do you have
a tiny phone? Boom.
Eric, do you have iPad 1 or 2?
2.
Or 2? Okay.
Why?
Now, just curious, because I was, cause it's like, because you didn't get the fancy schmancy new iPad that came out.
No, I'm not that fancy schmancy.
The I was mentioned. Did you get the graphic novel, or do you have it in the way, or the Jimmy Palmiotti's Queen Crab that just came out
in the mail?
In the mail.
Yeah.
I'm curious to hear your thoughts on it, because I liked it. I actually made a point to give a quick message to Jimmy saying I really enjoyed it. I did not expect what I was, and it was, and I was like, and it's funny because one thing I like about Jimmy is he is very nice.
Like
9 times out of 10, if he's not busy with something, he'll give you a quick, oh, thank you, or at least something. And he got a kick out of my comment. I said, I meant it as a compliment. Like, I know I took it as one. Like, basically, like, I did not, because Queen Crab is nothing like you would expect. I mean,
he's done a few graphic novels like that now, I think. I've read a few of them. Yeah. Outburst was one that kind of was like, what the hell?
I never read Outburst, but I read the ones Cloudburst. He did with I read the one he did with Justin Gray, his one he did, yeah. Trailblazer and Tattered Man.
Tattered Man reminded me of Ragman.
That was awesome. Tattered Man was freaking insane.
Yeah, it was alright.
I liked it. And Trailblazers are actually really cool too. I like that one.
Time Bomb was good. Did you read that one?
I never read Time Bomb.
Oh, it's cool. It's all spy, espionage, time travel. It's cool.
Are you guys reading both Green Glory, aren't you?
No, not Glory.
Glory, no.
I got
the first issue of it. I didn't pick the second one though.
The second issue is actually really cool. It's because Andrew and I were talking about it last night, actually. And we were both saying, like, it was a little quirky, it was a little uneven. It's not as strong as the first issue, but then there's an ending, and it's a hell of an ending. And it's pretty awesome.
Really? Is it Prophet awesome?
It's pretty close. Like, there's a twist at the end of Glory that makes you go, okay, where the hell is this series going to go now? Because it's pretty cool. I liked it. I had a feeling this Extreme relaunch is going to be interesting, but I didn't expect how interesting it was going to be, because Prophet's been good, Glory's been good. I mean, Bloodstrike is going to be interesting. That's going to be one that could be hit or miss. But I like the preview. They have a little preview of it at the end of Glory that it could be pretty cool. And then we have Supreme and Youngblood upcoming. So this has actually been a very interesting experiment out of how to revamp Rob Liefeld's properties and actually. Yeah. Do some cool stuff with them.
How to be just like Marvel or DC.
Yeah.
Kinda. No offense, because I was there in the 90s, and those guys were all like, yeah, we want to own our stuff. We're a creator, and we don't want to work for the man. And now you are the man.
Now, Rob Liefeld is doing 3 books for the man, and Jim Lee is pretty much one of the top people at the man.
Yeah.
Because they've got bills to pay and kids to feed, just like everybody else. So.
Yeah. I understand that.
They did make a good lot of money during the image days, though. So, yeah.
Well, that's when like comics are selling a lot more than they are now. So,
destroyed everything.
Everyone was making more money back then. So,
yeah, I can't remember who said it, but one of the image guys said it's like, yeah, it was like the boom period was only like a couple years. I mean, it wasn't really long. It was only like a couple years, and it just kind of still managed to hang in there until like 96 or so, when it started, where things started getting really interesting.
I did like the look of that Image Expo Comic Con they had, actually. That was a few weeks ago. You know, the Image Comic Convention, that looked really cool.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of people I liked there. There's all like Ed Brubaker and Jonathan Hickman.
Yeah.
There's a lot of cool books coming out of that. Oh my god. Yeah. Grant Morrison freaking has a creator owned book or 3 coming out of Image. I'm like, good night.
Wow.
I mean, Grant Morrison doing creator owned for Image is one of those, oh, wow, okay, holy crap.
Should be interesting.
I was reading something, like Image is very much like having one of the, is on track to have one very strong 2012 right now. Yeah, because man. They have... Yeah,
bounce back.
Not just bounce back, my god, I mean, you got Hickman has another book coming out from Image, Secret.
What?
Yeah,
next month, I think.
Really?
Next month for the month. Yeah. It's by the artist with the artist he did A Red Mass for Mars with. Oh, which I haven't read it yet.
I haven't read that.
I haven't read it either.
Red Mass for Mars? Not read it yet. But,
It's going to be interesting. Image is basically on a roll so far this year, and I'm very intrigued to see how the rest of this year holds for them, because they've got some extremely strong books. I mean, alone when I saw Fatale and I went, oh my god, Brubaker and Phillips on Fatale. Oh, I love that book so much.
It's my favorite book right now, actually. Really? I'm going to be honest. Yeah, I love Fatale by Ed Brubaker and Sean Phillips. I'm just such fanboy for their stuff.
I read the first issue. I got the second issue, but I haven't read it yet.
I triple dipped in the first issue, actually, because I got four copies, because I bought it digitally, and then I got cover B, and then cover A, and then I bought the second printing. So I bought it four times of issue one.
Wow.
I never tend to do that usually. But.
That's hardcore, man.
That was really good.
I don't know. I can't. I got nothing to say. You should see all the X-Men number ones and X-Force 100s I have.
And on the X-Men thing, I actually have. I have deluxe edition. I have a regular. I have a couple regular editions. I was going through my comics one day and I went, oh my god,
do I have these?
I have three copies of X-Men number one. Yeah. It's almost the running gag of. Like, if you were comic collecting in the early 90s, you probably have three copies of certain books that you expect to have three copies of.
Seven different covers or something like that, wasn't it?
Seven different covers. At one point, if I ever hear the words, so how much is X-Men number one worth from the 90s? It's like, it's in the 25-cent bin.
Really? Cause I got myself a copy last year, I think, just for the sake of having it, really. I don't know. And I paid £2, I think, off eBay. And then I still bought the remastered version they did back in October or so.
Funny.
So now I have two copies of it myself.
You should have said something. I mailed it to you.
Yeah, no.
It's actually a fairly easy comic to find. Like, depends on the area. I mean, like, in my area, I can trip upon like X-Men number ones at times, and in other times it's not as much X-Men, it's also pretty much anything 90s I can trip up over pretty frequently at most used bookstores around here. I have like at my local, the 90s Image, like pretty much Supreme, Stormwatch, most of McFarlane.
Yeah.
all in the 25-cent bin. It's like,
well, I think, McFarlane's Spider-Man number one's kind of the same as X-Men number one, isn't it? Where it's sold that many copies that now it's not really worth anything.
I don't know. I've only got a second printing of that.
Get about 10. If someone wants it, you can get about $10 out of a first print Spawn number one. Sometimes more, but usually about $10 or so, if reasonably. I mean, some people try to sell it for like insane amounts, but. You're not getting insane amounts for some of this stuff. It was just that well printed.
I heard some nightmare stories about some shops boarding and bagging Saga number one and then jacking the price on it.
That doesn't shock me.
Yeah, people were selling it on eBay for like $10 or something.
Oh, yeah, already.
$15 some. Did you hear what happened with that? There was one comic, Adventure Time number one, that
I heard about this book.
Like, it was based off the animated series, and people were selling it for, like, $30, $35 on eBay. I mean,
it's a kid's book as well, isn't it?
Kid's books, and it was, like, well, it was Boom, and it wasn't really well printed, so it...
Yeah.
It went nuts. And really? And what was funny is, I remember I went on a rant on Twitter about this. I said, why in the hell is Adventure Time number one one of the more higher-rated shows on Cartoon Network not... going selling for like that much insane amount on eBay when it should be on anyone's hands that wants it? And I was like, I was frustrated that day because it was one of those, why?
I never even heard about this shit until the comic came out. I was like, what? Who? What?
What was funny, I didn't realize the guy who did a webcomic, the guy who wrote it, did the webcomic Dinosaur Comics. And I was like, that's who did that. Because I actually have heard of the guy when I was reading, because he connects over with occasionally Questionable Content and a couple other webcomics, going, that's who I've heard of this guy from, son of a gun.
Questionable
Content. And I was like, yeah, I swear, like, that was one I was like, yeah, it's like, but there's some of those comics that hit, like, speculator markets on eBay, and I go, Lord.
Yeah, I know a guy on there who sells a lot of them, and he was telling me he's getting good money for the last Batman comics that came out, like when the DC rebooted.
Yeah, for I
can $28. Detective Comics, he said he got $28 for. I was like, are you kidding? Wow. I don't have that one. Oh, well.
Yeah, I actually I've heard of that. Like at my comic store there, you can actually get a pretty decent bit out of that too, because they, like, it's funny though, there's like the same place where I find like 25¢ 90, it's like they'll get like all the DC 52 number ones, and you can still find occasional first prints pop up in there.
Brother.
If they don't know what they are, and you might be able to get it for like $5 or something.
There's a comic store here. It's not my store, but I went in there the other day to buy comic boxes.
Yeah.
And they had this whole shelf of the first 6 issues of each title. Like, and they were still there for like 25% off. I was like, somebody overordered.
Yeah, you took pictures. I saw your pictures of that you posted. Comics aren't
big in this town. They're not at all, man. And there's apparently 3 stores. So go figure. Yeah, bad comic store.
Yeah, very. Wow.
Just sloppy. Everything's so. This is why I try to be so patient for waiting for the comics from Edmonton, because I walk in every time I go into their store, which maybe isn't that much, but whenever I do, everything is organized, easily findable, and the guy behind the counter helps and small talks, right? So, whereas here it's like, hey, and they just let you wander, and I'm walking around, I'm like, this looks like shit, take a picture. Guys, like, what are you doing? I'm like, take a picture so people can see what a shitty store you got. I don't know this place, man. I just work here. Yeah, I know, dude. Anyways, I just need a comic.
Yeah, I've actually got another title that I want to bring up, if that's okay.
Yes.
Go for it, dude.
It's another Marvel one. It's Fantastic Four 604, which is kind of like the conclusion of what Hickman. Have you not read it?
Oh, I don't think so. 604.
I don't read Fantastic Four, but I've heard about what.
I'm not gonna spoil it, but it's kind of like it's a conclusion of what he's been doing with the past 3 years with like the Council of Reeds and the War of the Four Cities, and it is so good. Oh, it's fucking awesome. I love the hell out of it.
Say that, man. Yeah,
it's just glorious what he did in it. I won't talk about it anymore, just in case I accidentally spoil it. But if you've been reading from when Hickman started, that's kind of the thing with Hickman's FF. You do kind of have to like read it properly, which is the reason I buy the hardcovers rather than tend to read it month to month. I'd rather have the hardcovers so then I can like read it all in like one go when I want to. But it was really good, and yeah.
Last thing I seen was Valerie and what's the kid's name?
Franklin
coming back from the future. Wait, sounds like a Michael J. Fox movie. Yeah, I think that was the last issue I read. Last page they showed up, and I was like, "Damn, I wondered what happened to them."
Because he set that up. He set that up like over a year or so ago, didn't he?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. There's where the rumor of him taking over the Avengers kind of scares me. Because if he takes over both titles, they're obviously going to be linked, and it's going to be like that. And I wonder how many people will end up chasing away, because a lot of people got chased away from Fantastic Four when he started writing it, because they didn't get it.
And then you got all the cool and smart kids who carried on reading it anyway. people who like good comics still read it.
Yeah, man, the guy's got some amazing stories out there.
I love Hickman.
He's one of the top favorites. I'm like, wow, this is good.
Eric, do you still read S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Yeah, and I remember seeing Jace. I don't know, man. I don't know.
I have no idea what happened.
There's not been an issue for ages. It seems like forever.
He's going to war, and I was like, all right.
I think it's because it must be somewhat to do with all the image work he's doing that he's just not had time to do, or maybe it's with Dustin Weaver, but I'm like, it just seems forever since there's been an issue out with it.
I honestly think it's a mix of image work, Dustin Weaver, and the fact that also Hickman's also involved in the Avengers versus X-Men stuff. Within these three things happening, it's like, well, something's going to give for a while.
Yeah, it's too bad. S.H.I.E.L.D.'s a cool book.
It is. That was the first thing I read by him, actually.
Really?
And then I read his Fantastic Four, and then I read his Image stuff, and I've yet to read his Secret Warriors. His Secret Warriors is actually being collected in an omnibus, which is out either May, or I think it's either April or May. It's in the next few months, so I'm probably going to read it then when it's all collected together. Because I've been wanting to read his Secret Warriors for ages, but I've been waiting for the omnibus. So
it's a good idea. I got the first trade myself.
Yeah, it's really good. It's Bendis is like with him. He co-writes with him for the first arc, and then it's pretty much all Hickman right after that, and it is crazy.
Yeah, man,
it's just freaking nuts.
I don't even know why he had Bendis co-write, and the guy had the talent before that even.
Well, I think from what I've heard of Bendis saying in interviews and stuff, Bendis just kind of came up with like the concept and the rough character ideas, and then pretty much just let Hickman do what he wants with it. Because Bendis has said, even though his name is on those comics, he didn't really have that much to do with it. And one of the reasons he had his name on the comics is to help him sell as well, because Bendis was better known than Hickman, because it was like out straight after like Secret Invasion as well, which was like a huge event which got Bendis well known. It was during Dark Reign, which Bendis had a big hand in. So I think when it was just to help sell the comics, and then in the second half, Hickman became like the sole writer of it. Mm-hmm. So
he's awesome.
Mm.
I was gonna say, I don't think I've read a bad comic from him. Does he do that? I don't think he does.
I don't think I've read one even. I've read comics that I don't like fully, totally understand due to my like own intelligence. Like when I read stuff like News and Pax Romana, I'm like, okay, I like this, but what the fuck is it?
Oh, I haven't read that one.
Do you know what I mean? It's like I'm enjoying it, but like I'm not sure if I understand it completely. But yeah, it's cool, it's awesome.
The next News was like that for me. I first opened it up and I'm like, what the fuck? I don't know how to read the pages, and then somebody died and I was like, oh my god, and I was sucked right in. I was like, that was awesome. I want to reread that again. Pax Romana, I should check that out.
I haven't sat down and read all his, because I have three of Hickman's trades. I have the Nightly News, Pax Romana, and Transhuman, but I haven't got a chance to sit down. I'm like, I need to sit down and just read these, because
You do need to like sit down properly and like read them properly. They're not just kind of like casual.
Don't try to read them, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, literally it'll be like one of those BRB gone for a while, reading all. It'll be like the time I basically sat down like for a week and just read everything of Grant Morris's Invisibles, and literally and that literally was like that week of me reading the Invisibles was like sort of like my brain being rewired for an entire week. It was like I was like, holy crap. So like I have a feeling when I sit down and read all the Hickman stuff, I'll be going, well, my brain's getting rewired for a week again, because I'll be wholly looking forward to that, because that was a lot of fun.
That's being collected in an omnibus as well, isn't it? The Invisibles in
June, yes. I think. Have you read the Invisibles, Anthony?
I've not. I've actually got the first trade, but I haven't got around to reading it yet, because it, like you said, it's going to be one of those things where it's probably going to hurt my head after it. So.
It is crazy amazing. Yeah. I mean, it's like, you ever seen Grant Morrison, you know, JLA and all that? Yeah, this is Invisibles and him basically going, here, I'm nuts. I basically, here's me, everything, every weird, this is me, it's basically Grant Morrison just cut loose for like an entire series. And it shows, because, and it has a very, and the artist, and like every artist on there is really good. I mean, you have Chris Weston working on an arc, Jill Thompson's worked on a few issues. Good artist, holy crap, good artist, whole sweet. I mean, it's like, it's great. Oh, I love The Invisible so much.
So are you guys stoked for AVX or what?
Yes, I love Avengers, I'm fucking up for it, man.
you want to laugh? I mean, if you would have told me about a few months ago, like, I'd be stoked, right, going, nah, like, you know, I'm like, hey, you know, I'm ready to have some fun with this darn series. Let's see how this sucks, because I'm actually looking forward to seeing how this comes together.
This will be my last event, I think.
I was thinking of that as well. I mean, you look at the talent they've got on it. It's pretty much the best talent Marvel have. If it's not amazing, then Marvel really needs to do something.
Yeah,
because all the top writers, the three of the best artists, it should honestly be like the best event like ever, really. But
some of these combos, I'm
no pressure or anything. But
yeah, no pressure at all, Marvel. Good luck.
some of the fights they've been teasing though have not looked like it's kind of the weirdest pair up I've ever seen.
You have Avengers X-Men. You have Avengers X-Men Versus, which is all the fights they can't fit in.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to.
Yeah.
And then you have all the tie-ins, which is going to be,
the tie-ins on their normal runs though.
And then you've got within the summer, let's just pretty much like this in there. You have Before Watchmen happening at DC. So you have Avengers vs. X-Men. So. Before Watchmen.
Are you guys getting down on the Before Watchmen stuff? I have absolutely no interest in it. I think I'm maybe a little bit in Rorschach, but I don't know.
With Before Watchmen, the only I might read some of them in trade when they're all collected and finished, but I'm not buying it monthly. I'm just not interested. I'm not being like Alan Moore and being all moody about it.
I've got
no interest in it. Because in my opinion, everything you need to know before, like, what happens in Watchmen is actually in the graphic novel anyway. Do you know, with the extra content and all that stuff? So I don't need it, so I'm not reading it. But that's just me.
I think with Before Watchmen, it's one of those things where that'll be, like, Avengers vs. X-Men, Before Watchmen and Avengers vs. X-Men are two books that I've already noticed are getting people very curious about what's happening right now, because Avengers vs. X-Men, a true story in my own comic store, I actually had my comic guy go, "Hey Wes, yeah, can you recommend some books to get the guy caught up to Avengers vs. X-Men?" And he ended up buying like nearly $100 worth of books. So
good job, Wes.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm pat myself on the back here, but
nice.
Yeah,
no doubt.
No, I actually have harassed my comic people to go, and I actually have harassed them to kind of go, "Hey, you guys might," because he's like, because he's like us, because they kind of go, "Holy," because they usually, whenever something like that comes up, they don't, like, as they kind of go, as usually one of those, like, "Wes, like, you've been following a little bit, right?" Yeah, like, can you help the guy figure out
those books? That's why I like my comic guy. He knows everything.
Yeah, it's really funny, and I've got the guy, like, I got the guy that I Wolverine versus Wolverine and the X-Men, because I really like Wolverine the X-Men's, like, my favorite X-Men book right now.
Yeah, who's Nick Bradshaw, man? I like that guy.
Nick Bradshaw's on the artist, Jason Aaron's writing. It's a good book.
Fun. I don't want to talk about that other book he's writing. Bastard.
Do you have his number 7 just came out this week.
No, 6. 5 and 6 were the last two I got.
You'll like 7. It's fun. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
And I like 5 and 6. They were good.
And it's been really good. I mean, I actually have to say, it's like Avengers vs. X-Men's getting people curious. Before Watchmen, what will be interesting to see is just how many people, like, outside of the normal comics industry will, like, don't usually go in the comics a lot.
Speculators.
This will be what Before Watchmen will be. A little, like, and Avengers will be the same way. It'll be a mixture of speculators, people who are hearing about it on, like, newspapers or internet and so forth, that are going, "Oh, hey, what is this Avengers versus X-Men? I'll take a look at this." And Before Watchmen, we'll do the same. We'll be a similar situation of, "Oh, hey, what is this Before Watchmen? I think I'll take a look at this." We'll have to see how these all kind of collide together. And because honestly, this could be I can say this, between Avengers versus X-Men and Before Watchmen, it's going to be a really good summer for comic stores, because there'll be some money to be made. Even my comic guy, who can be a little bit like, he's kind of like a little bit like, kind of like, he's going, "Yeah, I'm making some money this summer." Like, I know I'm making money this summer.
What if they never said anything about Before Watchmen, the new 52? What if it's a reboot?
That's a riot.
Wait, what?
What? The Before Watchmen, how come it's not part of the new 52? They rebooted all their books.
Right? That's funny, but if they actually were, I swear to you, if they would have said the words, "Oh, yeah, by the way, we're putting Before Watchmen new 52, there would have been a damn fan riot. I know what would have happened there. That would have been a mess.
Do you know what I think, right? Personally, I think if the movie had made a lot more money than it did, because the movie wasn't that commercially successful, really, then they would have done the Before Watchmen comics like 3 years ago, back when the movie was out. But they've just waited till now, just probably just, I don't know, they might just feel like releasing them now, but it would have been sooner if the movie would have been like done like the kind of money like Spider-Man or Batman movies correct. Do. But since it barely just made what its budget back and maybe a bit extra, which isn't that successful, so they probably just held it back a bit.
It didn't make its money back until DVD Blu-ray. that's when it started really made its most of its money back was during that.
DVDs are expensive, man. People are starting to catch on to that, I think.
Yeah.
What's expensive?
Theaters.
Yeah, they are. Going cinema? To the movies. Is.
Yeah, man.
Cinema, yes.
Sorry, I don't know. I don't know the analogies. That's why we hardly go. We trade our Air Miles points in for movie tickets when I definitely have to go and they save $20.
And then you get all the tedious things that happen as well, which I won't get into now, but it's kind of putting me off going as well. Just like the little things, like people going on their phones or talking.
Oh, God.
In your chair, or just being the worst kind of human beings you could possibly imagine. But it annoys me now, though, because with the money you pay to go in and watch a film, why would you just, like, not watch it? I don't get it. It doesn't make sense. Because you're paying, like, what, $10 and stuff, and you're just not watching it anyway. You just... fuck off home.
Really. Or if you really want to add in, say you're going to the movies by yourself, and say you're just sitting, it's you in the theater, sitting by yourself in the theater, you know, perfectly content, going to watch a movie, and then there's like that one person who has an entire theater to find seats, and sits right next to you. You're like, I don't know you.
What's up with that? That's creepy.
Like, and it's like, I don't know you.
I'd go away. Move.
Go to next row.
I'd be like, I'm out of here.
Go to next row. Go wait. I almost have to literally, you don't have to literally in a theater. You have to go like, I'm seeing this. I don't know you. Don't sit next to me. You have to almost like kind of give an air about yourself. Like, I don't like you.
Get
sit alone. Let me sit to watch my movie.
What do you call it? Get all Spiegel on them. Yeah.
Like, but, and of course, Here at the Comic Amp, we have a random moment of us ranting about movie experiences.
Yeah, I figure seeing that we're ranting about odd stuff, I don't know if Anthony plays. I don't think you do. You don't play that Marvel Ultimate Alliance game, do you?
The one on Facebook.
Avengers Alliance.
You refuse?
I refuse to play Facebook games. That's why I'm not playing it. I've got kind of this thing where if I play Facebook games, then I'll spend even more time on Facebook than I already do. So I just, it's a rule I have. I don't play games on Facebook. I want to because it looks cool, but you know, okay. I've got principles. So.
I don't know if everybody knows though, but you can go to everybody's map on this that's on your team and clean up.
There's you can go nuts on that game. I actually had one of my friends on Facebook because she was like, I was telling her like I actually have like this hero that I'm like, how do you have so many heroes? I basically let myself gather up enough Avengers points for a period of time. And then when I gain levels for gold, then I just go, and then when I gain the gold level, then I just transfer the gold into Avengers points and then buy myself another hero whenever one catches my eye.
I screwed up at the beginning and spent all my gold on energy like an idiot.
Yeah.
I didn't know. I didn't know.
I have. Yeah. You didn't know. But
I know now. I'm saving up for the Hulk. Damn it.
I can't blame you. The Hulk looked like he'd be.
Which one? Hulk, gray, red, or blue?
Green.
Green.
Well, they actually are going to have extra skins available.
Planet Hulk actually is what I'm going for.
Planet Hulk's on there right now, and then they're going to probably. I can already see them adding a Gray Hulk.
I just got new costumes for Black Widow and Iron Man.
Oh, cool!
I believe
is Doctor Strange on there.
Yes, Doctor Strange is on there.
Yeah,
he's on my team.
All the really good guys are expensive. That's the problem. And them damn points are so hard to come across.
Doctor Strange is only like 25.
What is
Avengers points? Like I just bought him and Invincible Woman's 15, Finished Fantastic's 40.
Oh yeah, some of them are like, cheap.
Spider Man's like insane.
130. I think he's 130 as well. Same Hulk's with the Hulk.
Insane. Yeah. Like most, like you pretty much have to go. Well, either like there's, I know there's people on my list that have paid money on Avengers.
I almost did last night. I almost did. It's a ripoff.
What I do is. My thing with the game is I usually wait. I usually go is like if I have to basically go, okay, I'm not touching this game. I'll just go put my team on all missions for 12 hours and just go here, go on a mission.
That's what I do.
I know I don't touch you then for 12 hours. Yeah. Or
well, I don't have many people.
Yeah. I have Miss Marvel on my team.
Yes,
Miss Marvel. She's more powerful than Iron Man.
I know. Man. That's why I bought her. I'm like, this is the toughest cheap bitch on here. I'm buying her.
She's 15. She's like 15 Avengers points. There you go. Here's Miss Marvel.
Man, she just damaged that girl.
And then She-Hulk, actually, one of my friends has She-Hulk, and I'm kind of thinking, maybe I should just get her on my team, because I've heard, because she's actually a bit of a beast to play, too.
Yeah, you get to help with her in a mission. Can't remember which one.
She's fun. I kind of want to wait for either, I kind of want to get Luke Cage, though, because I want to have the Heroes for Hire. Because they're,
have you got awesome. Iron Fist, have you?
Yeah, Iron Fist. You actually get, because you get bonuses in the game.
He's going to play this.
So, you actually
I'm being tempted by the dark side here, you know.
It's a bit of a grind, but it's kind of fun.
It's fun. It's a grind, but it's also a fun grind, because it is sort of those games where if you kind of just play it in sort of short bursts, it's a lot more fun, because you can kind of tweak around and you go, okay, step away from it, then check about a few hours or so later and play another, because you get bonuses in the battles depending on what teams you have. So say you have like your agent and then you have Iron Fist and Luke Cage together, you get a Heroes for Hire bonus, because the Heroes for Hire, so you get an extra 50 points on your battle. And
nice. Then, you're so high up there. I didn't know that.
And then you have another there's a very funny bonus of when you have Black Widow and Hawkeye together, and you have Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. bonus, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. bonus, Avengers Assemble bonus, and Frenemies bonus. With
really?
The Frenemies bonus made me laugh. I'm like, there was a Frenemies bonus?
Yeah, that's cool. See, I learned something. I like that game.
Avengers Alliance is sort of like a game, like, it's kind of, it's Facebook crack, but you can kind of contain it a lot more than some
games. Yeah, the thing for me, though, with this game is there's actually other people on my friends list who fucking playing it, man. Like, I think there's about 9 of you guys, and Fred Van Lente is one of them. I'm like, Fred Van Lente's on my team.
Funny.
I'm going to rule the universe. Anyways.
I have
stuff like Farmville and shit. You know, I had like 3 neighbors.
I get burnt out on all those games. Like, but Avengers Alliance has kept my interest longer than a lot of this. Like, I need to convince some more of my people, because it's funny. I actually had people on my Twitter list going, like, basically, no, I won't play Avengers Alliance with you.
Like, yeah, that might be me.
It's actually people like, I have a very diverse Twitter list, and it's like people like, I won't want to play that game because I don't have an interest in it. Like,
pretty much everybody on my list is into comic books.
If you are in the comics, you'll have more of an appreciation for this game, because like, you can always tell the people who play it more, because like I see yours, Eric, and you're like, you play it a little bit more, and then I have like some of my friends are at level 2 or 3, and I was like, you basically played 1 or 2 games of this and you got bored of it really fast. And
guys like that too.
But one of my friends, like, level 27.
That guy's, like, level 22. I'm like, I don't even know how he got that far. I think he spent money.
I have one friend who's level 27, and he's like,
that's crazy, too. Okay. That was fun. I guess we'll wrap it up there, eh?
Yeah. I mean, if anyone has another comic they want to talk about.
Do you?
I wanted to bring something up really quickly, but Wesley can do his first if he wants.
I actually read Saucer Country #1.
Oh, how was that?
Or Canal.
I heard about it, but I don't know what it's about.
It's sort of like what if aliens are kind of have like a very like it's as far as aliens being on Earth, like, and what their influence would be. It's weird. You can tell Cornell put a lot of passion into this project because he's really into it, but you're kind of like, where in the hell is this going to go? Because it's very trippy. It's very
trippy, like your voice. That's crazy.
Yeah. I don't know how to explain this book really properly without me going, because it's strange, but it's not bad by any means. I mean, it's a very book you kind of have to really read to kind of figure out what exactly they're wanting to go for, I'm going to give it another issue just to see like where it eventually leads off to, but there's some kind of cool stuff. Especially there's this one guy who's basically like getting like accused of, like, basically everyone thinks he's crazy, and he talks to these two like blue people who are basically like, no, you're not crazy, you're perfectly sane. I'm going, oh my god, he's talking to two blue people. Okay, they're basically mixing in aliens, and then they're mixing in really weird blue apparition people. Hmm. Wow, this is going to be, like, because this is part of the Vertigo sort of mini relaunch they're doing right now, so they're really trying out some...
That's under Vertigo?
Yeah, it's under Vertigo. They're actually trying out some... Vertigo's right now, like, with Ferris, the spinoff from Fables, focusing on, like...
Yes.
They're Ferris, the Saucer Country, New Deadwardians, and Voodoo Child are I might be missing a book, but
I've got the preview right here.
But they're trying to revamp to the Vertigo line and make that kind of like doing their own mini version of New 52 by doing a mini relaunch of Vertigo and kind of getting people some more interested in the Vertigo book. So Saucer Country fits
one of the
interesting, daring ideas that. There's some really neat ideas going on, so I'm kind of willing to give it a couple, because I like Paul Cornell too, right. So I want to see where he takes this.
I got a better idea for you, Kate. You go to Comixology and you look up the Vertigo Preview 2012. It has a preview for Ferris, Dominic LeVoux, Voodoo Child, The New Deadwardians, and Saucer Country.
Yes. That would be the smartest move for anyone, because then you'll kind of know.
And it's free.
And you'll know if you're going to, and you'll know kind of like if you want to get into this further or not. Because they actually give you like a good, few pages or?
Yeah, about 5 or 6 pages for each one.
You'll get an idea, at least you'll kind of, if you want to, how far you want to venture into it.
The New Deadwardians one is the one that I thought looked interesting. Cool. Yeah.
That looks really cool.
Saucer County, I couldn't read it. I just didn't look.
Saucer Country looks, it could be cool. I'm going to give another issue just to see if it kind of develops and. But it's sort of like Reno's books. I'm very much on the fence with right now. Like it.
Ferris has wicked artwork, man. Wicked
artwork. Ferris looks great. Oh my god.
Yes.
And Anthony, what's the book you wanted to get into?
Yes.
I just wanted to quickly bring up Justice League #6, which wraps up the first arc for Justice League, which is one of the biggest selling superhero comics right now. The thing with Justice League with me is it's nowhere near like the best book DC are putting out right now, but it's probably the one that I would recommend to people the most, just because it's kind of like just fun superhero comics. And Comics Alliance have had these things up where Chris Sims did an article where he was against the title and he didn't like it, and then David Uzumezi, I've just ruined his name there, did one where he was for the title, and it was like for and against. It's the really good interesting reviews on there, and I'm kind of for the title. I quite like it. I get there's quite a lot of problems with it. It's kind of like the pointless redesigns of characters like Batman and Superman and Darkseid that don't look that great. I mean, why would you redesign Darkseid? Honestly, you don't mess with Jack Kirby.
I hate the Darkseid design still.
Yeah,
it's not that good, is it?
It's the anti-monitor.
Yeah. But with Matt Bagley on Avengers Assemble, you've got Jim Lee on Justice League, who's one of like these kind of like master craftsmen of superhero comics, and the book just looks really good, and just it looks how a superhero comic should look, much like Avengers Assemble does as well. And there's some good story. There's some decent dialogue in there with the characters, like banter between the story itself. The story itself, it's not too complicated and too overcomplicated. It's not like the best story ever, because it's pretty much just the Justice League one by one saying, oh look, there's bad guys, let's go hit them, and then each recurring issue you kind of get introduced like the next character like Wonder Woman and Aquaman, and then eventually by issue 6 we got the whole team together and it's like Justice League assembled, and it was quite good. I think when the hardcover, when that's out in a few months, that'll be a big seller, and that'll get good numbers, because recommend. I'd recommend that to Justice League. People who want to read superhero comics, and they've never read them before, I'd recommend them Justice League by Jim Lee and Geoff Johns. Because it's fun. It's fun superhero comics, which with a title that's got Geoff Johns and Jim Lee on it, with characters like Superman and Batman in the team, that's what you want at the end of the day. You know, you're not looking for definitive. Yeah, that's what it is. It's fluff, you know.
Oh, and the Pandora story with it's awesome.
Yes, that's gotta be Darkseid's daughter.
Love the Pandora story. That was awesome. I mean, the Pandora story was awesome, and also
jail free card.
And then also number seven comes out soon, and it's going to be the Shazam backup and the Gene Ha story that's in that issue. Which
Gene Ha?
Gene Ha's going to be doing the art for issue seven.
Oh, they're giving Jim a break.
Yeah.
Oh. Yep.
Jim Lee's back on. I think it's for issue 9, and then he's doing 9 to 13. I think, because I was only going to buy the issues by Jim Lee, but since I've been quite enjoying it, I'm just going to keep buying it for the next few issues and
I'm really
hold
interested
out
in this Shazam redo.
I actually saw they have the preview up of it on Entertainment Weekly's website, actually, that it's I was actually looking over it just earlier, and number 7 looks really good. I'm like, it looks a lot of fun. I'm like, okay, this is great. I mean, like I said, and Anthony and I pretty much we're on the same wavelength with this. It's like, it's fun. It's hero shiny fun. If you want to,
it's Justice League, so you'd want fun, don't you?
Yeah,
and it's fun, and it's Jim Lee, and it's Jeff Johns, and
Grant's run was still better.
Yeah. I'm not going to argue with you. The only real problem I had with the new one is there's just some random point in the battle where Batman decides to take his mask off and like he peels like his bat symbol off his chest. It's the most stupid thing ever, just so he can get picked up by one of Darkseid's fiends and taken into Apocalypse or whatever it is, and it doesn't make much sense. So he can save Superman, so he takes his mask off, and then in like the next issue, he's suddenly got his full costume back, and you just don't know why. There are bits like that that don't make much sense. But
Batman does have superpowers, I'm telling you.
But always remember, Batman in the Batman New 52, he's the sane one. Batman, Superman, and he's sort of like the opposite reason. Batman New 52 is sort of like the one who brings the one who brings the league together, and Superman is, I'm Superman, punch.
Yep.
It's kind of like, what the hell is happening here? But it's,
I like New Superman. He's a dick.
Superman's kind of an asshole.
Yeah. As you would be if you were Superman, I'm telling you. If you had that kind of power, you'd be a dick. Until you felt the right woman, at least. Wonder Woman. Anyways. Random tangent. Okay, so I guess we'll wrap it up there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
no,
what?
Really, really, really quick. No. Sorry, really quickly.
This is great.
Action Comics, was it number 6? Was it number 6? No, it was number 7. The past 3 issues of Action Comics have been quite good, whereas the other ones were, well, maybe it's just because I don't understand it, because it's Grant Morrison being, you know, telling, like, this really complex story and shit. But the last issue of Action Comics was good.
Yeah.
5 and 6 were awesome. Yes, I loved 5 and 6 to death. I love those.
I'm gonna miss the
blue jeans. I feel we mentioned them last time, actually. What was that, Eric?
I'm gonna miss the blue jeans.
Yeah, that's what I quite liked as well. How you found out how he got that body armor. That was quite cool.
I thought
he did it up. Summon.
I think he grabbed his mom's suit though, from the looks of it. Whatever.
But I'm really done now. I'm done.
Oh really? Well. I enjoyed that Superman too. Like, I dropped all my DC books, but I'm buying them at the $2 mark, so I can save a couple bucks.
Yeah.
So I can buy more Action Comics.
your fucking